working through the book of Luke. You should be on day 13. If you didn't get a copy of the Just What the Doctor Ordered, the readings for the 40 days, you can pick them up on the tables that are on either side. And we're trying to read through the book of Luke during this time, and each of the sermons are going to come out of that reading for that week. And today is the prescription to find peace. And so we're talking about in Luke chapter 8. It was one of the readings that happened. And it's Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. So if you want to turn to that passage, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." That sounds pretty innocent, right? So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the waves, or the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Let's pray. Father, open our hearts and minds. Teach us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. This morning we're talking about just what the doctor ordered. And as we work through, we're talking about truth. And Luke wrote the book of Luke. He was a physician, and it's one of the most detailed books of the Gospels. And so, and you'll see a number of ways of healing that it's referred to particularly. So it kind of zeroes in on Luke and in his perspective, as we would see. Today, as we're talking about to find peace, the disciples are so struck by, "Who is this? He commands even winds and waters, and they obey him." The interesting thing is, you would think they've just left everything to follow Jesus. They've been fully committed to doing this, and here they kind of come back with a question like this. They are in amazement, as the scripture says, at what Jesus does, and so like they're thinking like, "Wow, even the winds and the water obey him." Now, you would think that particular thought would have transference in their minds, right? Now, wouldn't you think that, like, if you're sitting there and you see somebody control the weather, I mean, certainly our weathermen aren't too good at that. they kind of try to predict it, and they don't even do that too well. But here's somebody who's actually controlling the weather. Right at this point, as he's controlling it, they're standing and seeing all this happen. He just speaks, and it goes calm. Now, you would think a little longer when Jesus says, "These 5,000 people have no food. What should we do?" And the disciples said, "Well, why don't you send them home so they can get something to eat?" He said, "No, you feed them." Shortly after that, he said, "These 4,000 people have no food. What should we do?" You'd think they just said, "Oh, this is just like the time before. I remember what we're gonna do is you're gonna mix up like and make a whole bunch of food out of nothing." You would think as it continued through and they're sent out. And they say, "Wait a minute, something's wrong. Like, stuff doesn't work for us like it did for you." You would think they would remember. You would think they would remember what they've seen, what God has done, and know he could do things for the future. But is it any different than us? We see God do powerful things, but do we remember? We sang about it this morning, and we sang, "Will you? I will remember." But do we? Somehow, when we face the trials and the struggles and the times in our lives, when it seems overwhelming, all we do is focus on what's happening The fact is, just because we follow Jesus, we are not storm-free. Now, I think this is really interesting because kind of as you look at it, you can kind of see like the disciples are like almost set up for this, don't you think? I mean, they're pretty much set up for this because he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. They say, okay, we're in this for you, Jesus. We're following you. We'll go with you. I want to tell you, you have no idea where Jesus is leading you. But just always remember, it's Jesus who's leading you. The fact is, we think that when we are following Jesus, we're not going to have problems. We think that we're not going to have storms. They're going to be part of our lives. We think things are going to go smooth. We know when he said one day, hey, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they said, okay, we're in this for you. Storms will always be a part of our lives. I don't care what you're facing or what you're going through. And I'm not trying to be depressing, but I'm just trying to be realistic. You're always going to have storms. You're always going to have storms. And let me say this, you're not going to always understand why you have storms. You're not, it's not always going to make sense. And those are the times you just need to trust. You know, it's just, you can try to add it up. You can try to make sense out of it, and you won't. Let me say this, storms will include trials, temptations, threatenings, and those everyday challenges to life. It could be any one of those. You can be doing the right thing. You can say, I'm just following Jesus and look what happens. I was just trying to do the right thing and look what happened. All I've been trying to do and here's what took place. I'm saying storms will always be a part of your lives. Always. It's no different than anyone else. The scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So we know all of us are subject to rain. It seems like when we come into those things, it should be much smoother. It should work out much easier. It should be much better. And because I've given my life to Jesus, it should fit all these pieces together, and I really shouldn't be suffering like this. Things should make much more sense. But those are the times that we have to trust. You see, storms always demand a response. They always demand a response in our lives. You have a choice. You have a great choice. How are you going to deal with the storms? If you're always going to have storms, if you're always going to have them, then how are you going to deal with them? How are you going to respond to those? Because all of us have a response. And do you know what that response does? That really shows us, where we are in our spiritual journey. Now, it doesn't show God. God isn't testing you so he can find out. He already knows. He already knows how you're going to respond. He knew how you're going to handle this situation. But you didn't know how you were going to handle it until you came to it. And so when you face those storms, it shows a whole lot about that. They always say, whatever is in a pot, and when it's spilled out, that's when you see whatever's in it. And when we are bumped, and whatever spills out shows what's in us. And that bump is those storms that come in our lives. And how will you handle those? Are you ready to give up? This Jesus thing just isn't working for me. Are you ready to say, this isn't what I signed up for? I just said I was just going to follow Jesus. I didn't know it came with all this. Or are you going to say, wait a minute. There's something bigger that God's doing here. You see, storms are a natural result of life and being at a specific place in time. These disciples just kind of got in the boat, and they were kind of just moving along. But I always think the interesting thing is, while they were there, he said, they got in the boat, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. You know, I don't you always watch these little babies that are kind of with their parents, and You know, they're kind of going along and they just fall asleep whenever they want to. They're just like, who cares whatever's happening? They're just at rest, wherever. Jesus was at rest. He didn't have anything to fear. He could just be at rest. Well, the fact is, just because we follow Jesus, the storms will still hold danger. This is not just like a test to be able to see, and then it's going to go away. Sometimes the danger is right there. It said a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. They were in great danger. And you think, wow. The fact is, the danger facing the disciples was not just perceived danger. It was real danger. Sometimes our fears get carried away, don't they? Sometimes our fears kind of like start to take control of us. Now, I believe with all my heart that every emotion that we have is God-given. And I believe that that's how God wired us and designed us. Even fear, even anger. I think those are emotions that are God-given. But the difference is that always needs to be remembered is that we need to control the emotion. The emotion shouldn't control us. So, an emotion and a prompt, there's certain fear. I don't know what fears that you might have. I really don't like snakes when they jump out at me really quickly. I don't know why. It just like, now if I can see them from a distance and I can kind of move up on them slowly, I'm okay with that. But when they're just like all of a sudden and it's right there, whew. I'm a little bit of a jumpy person. My wife tries to not scare me, although I think sometimes she, well, no. Let's say she doesn't. But I scare really easily. And she says, "What? Who did you think was there?" I said, I don't know. It's just us in the house. What did you think? And I don't know. So there's emotions, there's responses that are a part of us that are just there. They're just there. And that's just part of how we're wired. It's how we're designed. So fear is a part of it. But when you let the fear control you rather than you control the fear, I know that there may be many fears that are a part of your life, and some have struggled with more fears than others. But you've got to keep working through the journey and the process of not letting the fear control you. I can remember one of those times when we did our family for, I think it was for graduation for my kids, and we took a cruise, and we did that scuba diving thing, and... it wasn't scuba diving, it was snorkeling, that was it. Yeah, because you have that tube. And everybody was having a great time, but it wasn't working so well for me. And I've done a lot of things, but for some reason, I think I sucked water down the tube. And that probably was the first part that scared me a little bit. And then I saw the guy with the boat said, are you okay? And I said, no. And he said, okay, let's get out. And so he pulled me out. And I was feeling panic. And I know what that feels like, and I was feeling panic. And I thought, whoa. He said, well, why don't you just kind of wait out? I said, no, I want to get back in. Now, it wasn't enjoyable for me, but I was determined not to let the fear control me. Now, everybody else was having a great time, and they were loving it. Isn't this fun? Yeah, but I was determined not to let it control me. And I want to tell you that whatever the fear is in your life, you can't let it control you. If you just sit back and let it control you, you won't accomplish anything for God. God's calling you to be bigger than your fears. And I want to tell you that, you know, whether it's afraid of talking to people, afraid of sharing your faith, which is one of the biggest reasons people don't, whether it's afraid of being put into a situation where you think, boy, I'm out of control here, You can either let your fears control you, or you can make a choice to control your fears. And it's not easy, and it's a process, but it's an important thing, because we let God help us to be more than we could be on our own. And it may take a long journey for some, but you need to continue to keep trusting God to walk you through that. You see, these disciples didn't just face a fear in their mind. This was real danger. Because at that point, it said, as you look, they were in great danger. The danger was that their fears imagined was very real. A fear of drowning is something that is certainly very viable. And they saw at that point. Now, most of these are fishermen. They're in the water. Now, think about it. They're used to this. And they've been through storms. But this danger must have been pretty significant. And it was real enough to them that they knew that they were in trouble. They were experienced, but they knew they were in trouble. This was more than just imagination and fears. This was real. The danger had real consequences, and they were aware of that. They knew that their very lives were being threatened. They knew that that was the case. And right at that point, this danger had all the real indicators of what it could do. The waves are starting to come over. They're starting to see it. I mean, they're starting to feel it. This boat is starting to fill up with water. And because they're fishermen, and because they faced danger before, and because they know what they're going through, they're looking and they're saying, there isn't a lot of time here, guys. This isn't going to work. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Follow Jesus just because. And call on Jesus when there's trouble. They said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Trials teach us. They teach us. Whatever you're going through, let me say this, trials teach you. They're going to teach you something in your life. I know we don't like them. None of us want to sign up for them. We want to sign up for all the glory and the crowns and all the good things that come from following Jesus. But we're all going to suffer if we're going to follow him. He said, if you're going to be my disciples, you're going to have this as a part of your life. Disciple in itself is discipline. I know we don't like that word discipline. We like just to feel it and do it. Let me just feel it. That's what I want. But when it comes to discipline, when it comes to doing it, whether it's fun or not, when it comes to doing it, whether we really want to or not, when it comes to doing it because God has called us to be his disciple, then it's different. And that's why we have to remember, trials teach us who Jesus is. They teach us who Jesus is. Because right at this point, as we see with these disciples, what happened? He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging water. And they said, wow. When you're going through a trial, let me say this. Jesus is going to use it to help you know who he is. You can try to work it out yourself. You can try to figure it out. You can try to reason it out. You can try to do whatever you want to. But what you need to do is know who Jesus is. He's the one who will carry me through this. He's the one who will be able to work through it. Trials teach us. The trials teach us the power that Jesus has. We start to see that no matter what we face, he is able to bring us through that. He's able to walk with us through that. And sometimes it doesn't mean it's going to go away. You know, Jesus was there all the time with those disciples. He didn't go anywhere, but they were the ones who let fear control. He was still there. Let me say, when you're in the midst of your fear, sometimes all you can think of is your fear. Just remember, God is still there. God is still there. And the fact is that when he called out, the storm subsided and all was calm. Why did Jesus have these disciples walk through this moment? Why did he have them experience such great fear? All of these are building processes in their lives that are teaching them how to trust. All of these that are happening in their lives are teaching them how to trust. We just don't get it on our own. We have to go through times and places where we have to say, I trust. And do you know how that speaks to a world around you? You know, if you came through trials and you, well, if you didn't have any trials, the world around you would say, oh, it's easy for you to be a Christian because everything works for you. But when you go through trials and the world is watching your reaction and they're watching your response, do you know when you go through that, they're saying, wow, if God can take care of you through that, maybe he could take care of me through that. Maybe he could work in that way through my life. And so it becomes a teaching tool for us and the world around us. You see, trials teach us that no storm is greater than the Creator. No storm is greater than the Creator. Would you say that with me? No storm is greater than the Creator. He created. Do you know he created the earth and the world by his voice? He spoke it into existence. You know, by his voice he calmed the sea. By his voice he stopped the winds just by speaking. In a simple word, he can transform our situation. In just a word. No storm is greater than the Creator. I don't care what we face. And no matter what anybody says in this world, no storm is greater than the Creator. He turned to them and he said, where is your faith? It's interesting because only in chapter 7, he talked about the faith of the centurion. You just read about that this week. And when he spoke about the faith of the centurion, what did he say? Do you remember the centurion? If you read the story this week, you know that what he said was, this man came because he had a servant he loved dearly that was going to die. And so this centurion, a Roman centurion, not a Jew, but a Roman centurion, humbling himself, said, I'm not worthy to come under the same roof as you are. Now, he had authority over the Jew, but instead he humbled himself and he said, I'm not worthy. But I know as a soldier, I have people who I can tell go and they go, come and they come. And I know that you, and I'm a man under authority, and I know that you have the authority over all, and you can heal him if you want. And do you know what Jesus said about him? Jesus said, I'm amazed at such faith. I've not seen faith like this among all you Jews. Much less somebody who's a Gentile. He was amazed. But to his disciples who are following him, he turns and he says, where is your faith? In fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Now, instead of saying, you're right, Jesus, where is our faith? They're still focusing on the circumstances. The fact is, trials teach us that Jesus' timing is always perfect. He said, come on, guys, let's go for a ride. And they said, okay. And then they got into trouble. Not of anything they did. They're just following Jesus. But they got into trouble. And they said, what is this? Jesus was there all the time. I don't know what the storm is that you're facing, but I can say this much. You're either in one, coming out of one, or going into one. because that's life. But I can tell you this much, I know there's no storm greater than the Creator. I know no matter what you face, there's a God who never gives up, never lets go. There's the one who wants to walk with you no matter what you're facing. And I want to give you an opportunity just to pray for you. If you'd say, and this certainly is not a hard thing, but if you're going through a storm or going into one, or maybe just need strength to recover after coming out, would you stand right where you are? I'd like to just have a prayer for you, because God's been speaking to you this morning and you thought, boy, this is me. I'm in a storm, or I'm heading into one. I can feel it happening. And I know this morning, I just really need God's peace. You see, the scripture says, as his timing is perfect, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. Just the right time. God's timing is perfect, no matter what. And that's why it's important. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let me pray for you that are standing. Father, you know the storm that each one may be facing. You know the storm that they're in, or maybe even that they're coming out of. Thank you that you never give up. You never let go. Thank you that you are with us. Some of us are facing storms that seem like an awfully long time. It seems like, Lord, are you asleep? Don't you know what I'm facing? And some of you feel that way. Some of you feel this morning that God has fallen asleep on you and he's not hearing you. But I want to tell you, he is. He's not gone anywhere. He is here. And he's going to go with you and walk with you no matter what you face. He has peace that he wants to give you. Not like the world gives. It's not temporary. Father, thank you that you can be with each one. You can be their strength. You can be all that is needed. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together. Just sing it again together in closing.
Never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails.
Amen. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. Amen. Amen.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me.
He's there for you. He will walk with you. He's not asleep. He's with you.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.